हरिः ओम् तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम् ओम् श्रीमहागणपतये नमः ओम् गणानाम् त्वा गणपतिम् सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः सो इन् दिस् बृहदारण्यक उपनिषत् वि आर् इन् द वेरि बिगिनिङ्ग् दि फस्ट् चाप्टर् where there are few sections called Brahmanani, and I gave you the summary of the first chapter just to get an idea of what is the core teaching of the Brahmanika Upanishad. I said the clarity is possible only when we understand how Adi Shankara Bhagavad Pada presents his discussions in his commentary on the mantras in each Brahmanam. And we have seen already the first two Brahmanams with the mantras we saw, the Ashwamedha Brahmanam, Agni Brahmanam, wherein the upasams are discussed, and they both are Virad upasams. And on the third section, a third Brahmanam is also discussing only upasana meditation, but the meditation discussed here is not Virad Upasanam like the previous Upasanams. Here the Upasya Devata is Hiranyagarbha. And as I told you many times, we only understand these Upasanams, we are not practicing these Upasanams, because we are not living in the Vedic period and we are not having a thorough knowledge of all the mantras of the Vedas. But we get to understand what these Upasanams are. So here Hiranyagarbha is actually, you know, the Samashti Sukshma the Bhagavan looked upon as the one in the form of the entire Sukshma Prapancha. We call Bhagavan as Hiranyagarbha. So Hiranyagarbha stands for Samashti Pranaha, the totality of physiological functions, the totality of minds, Samashti Manaha, totality of Indriyani, the totality of Sukshma. For here, and here, this Hiranyagarbha Upasanam is actually Samashti Prana Upasanam. And this Hiranyagarbha, being Upasya Devata, definitely must have the virtues, glories. Therefore, Upanishad itself presents, discusses the glories of the Upasya Devata. Therefore, when the glories are discussed, then there so different names are attributed to one Hiranyagarbha, Samashti Pranaha, for being endowed with those virtues, the gunas, as we generally we say in Puranas, Sakala Kalyana Gunasampannaha, the one who is endowed with adorable qualities and gunas. So here we can say guna visishtaha, gunaihi visheshena yuktaha. Therefore guna yuktaha, guna visishtaha is Hiranyagarbha. Therefore we say guna visishta samashti prana rupa Hiranyagarbha upasanam is the subject matter of the third section, the third Brahmanam. And one of the names attributed to this Hiranyagarbha is Udgitaha. Udgitaha means one who is highly glorified, one who deserves the great praise is called Udgita, highly honored, highly glorified, highly praised is called Udgita. So, because Hiranyagarbha's name is Udgita, because of his glories, he is highly glorified. And his very Brahmanam itself is known as Udgita Brahmanam, the third Brahmanam. Just information. And in this Udgita Brahmanam, so how to present the glories of Upasa Devata? The story has to be told, where through the stories, in the very introduction, no? In the introductory story, the glories of Hiranyagarbha are presented. Okay. Now our interest is not in the glories of Hiranyagarbha, not even in the story, not even in the Upasanam here. We are interested in knowing what is this special discussion presented by Adishankara Bhagavatpada in this Udgita Brahmanam. Here, his discussion is on Veda Pramanam. How Veda serves as the entire Veda serves as a unique, valid means of knowledge of the truth. So when Shankara Bhagavatpada establishes the Veda as a only valid means of knowledge of the truth, he takes the entire Veda as a Pramana Grantaha. He divides the two Vedas into two Shastrams as Karma Shastram and Jnana Shastram, Moksha Shastram. So Karma Shastram, subject matter essentially different in Karma Shastram, Karma Kanda, Karma Shastram. You know, Pura Bhaga. And Uttar Bhaga is actually a Jnana Kanda. Later on, he divides into two. Three are divided into two. Karma Kanda, Upasana Kanda, Jnana Kanda. Three Kandas, three portions of the Veda are divided into two main portions as Pura Bhaga and Uttar Bhaga, Karma Kanda and Jnana Kanda. So Karma Shastram and Jnana Shastram. The two different Shastrams in one textbook. Okay? Textbook is one text, but two different Shastrams are there. Why two different Shastrams? Why do you say that? Even though the Veda is ultimately aimed at helping the individuals, human beings, for discovering the truth for their own moksha, what you call two Shastrams, you have to remember here, because we have two different Anubandha Chatushtayam. For Karma Kanda, Anubandha Chatushtayam is different. Because two different Anubandha Chatushtayams are there. The Adhikari, the eligible student, for two Hathams are different. Who is eligible for Karma Kanda? Who is eligible for Purva Bhaga? Who is eligible for Uttara Bhaga? You know, the difference in the eligibility on the part of the people who are committed to the pursuit of Karma or Jnanam. This difference is there. And subject matter of the Karma Kanda is different from subject matter of the Vedanta Shastram. Therefore, Vishaya Bhedaha. So, Vishayaha is also different. Adhikari Bheda, Vishaya Bhedaha. Then, Pala Bhedaha also is there. Sambandha Bhedaha also is there. So, here the Sambandha is different. Here, even though Pratipadaka Pratipada Sambandha, the revealer revealed division is the same. So, Vedanta serves as a revealer. For the revealed, the sadhana sadhya sambandha. No? What is the sadhanam and what is the sadhyam? So that the Veda is there. The difference is there. Then prayojanam also. Phalam, pala Veda also is there. Karma can give you artha kama dharmas. So it's a time bound ends. Whereas jnanam can give you timeless end moksha. So it's a pala Veda. The difference in the benefit of the knowledge and karma, there's a difference in the connection between the text and the subject matter. The difference between the subject matter of the texts, the difference between the student who is eligible for which portion of the Veda. Therefore, this is called anubandha. So, adhikari, vishayaha, sambandaha, phalam. These four aspects form the anubandha chatushtayam. And anubandha chatushtaya bhedat, due to the difference in anubandha chatushtayam, we say the whole Veda consists of two different shastrams. But both the shastram together as the whole thing, one valid means of knowledge. So what is the ultimate aim of the shastram as a pramanam? What is the ultimate purpose? What is that Veda shastram aims at? So Veda is aiming at the attainment of moksha. Veda is aiming at helping an individual to attain the moksha ultimately. Because moksha is the ultimate goal. And that moksha is identical with the knowledge of the truth, the absolute reality. See, knowledge of the truth implies knowledge of the truth of the whole is actually knowledge of the truth of the individual. And knowledge of the truth of the individual actually implies knowledge of the very mind. Knowledge of the truth of the mind. What this antahkaranam is. What this mind is. And knowledge of the truth of the antahkaranam is knowledge of the truth of the knowledge. Obtaining in the form of a thought in terms of I am. Isn't it? Knowledge of the truth of the knowledge obtaining in the form of a thought in terms of I am. Which is knowledge of the existence of one's own self obtaining in the form of a thought. Therefore, this knowledge is moksha. It is only in this knowledge there is total manifestation of knowledge. And the total manifestation of knowledge, in total knowledge, there is freedom, there is happiness, there is moksha, there is fullness, and because there is right perspective also. Right perspective of the individual as well as the world. So in right perspective, there is freedom. And this is the whole Shastra's ultimate aim. And for this, a human being needs, if the knowledge has to rise in the form of a thought, a human being needs a mind which is conducive for the knowledge to rise. Because knowledge itself is subtle, and knowledge of the knowledge has to rise in the form of a knowledge. Okay? Knowledge of the knowledge also has to rise in the form of a thought in the same mind. The mind needs to become subtle. And subtleness implies here, mind must be relatively pure and steady. And that preparedness, readiness required on the part of the mind involves difficulty, involves strain, involves effort. It doesn't happen overnight. Therefore, the Shastram, the whole Uttara Purva Bhaga prescribes the rituals, prescribes the karma to understanding the human mind, understanding the human needs, going along with the flow of a human being's thinking and perception, helping the person grow. So the whole karma kanda, the Purva Bhaga is meant for helping the individual grow emotionally to become qualified for the later on portion. The portion is going to come later. Then helping a person prepare the mind initially, then the same Shastram, same Veda, gives a different perspective, the different subject matter, teaches things differently in order to help him attain the knowledge, which is the ultimate aim. So, Karma Shastra, the Pura Bhaga serves as an indirect means for the ultimate goal. And Jnana Kanda serves as an direct means for the ultimate goal. The Veda as an entire text is what? A valid means of knowledge, a Pramana Granthaha. This is understood, this is accepted. But here, in this context, where now in this Udgita Brahmanam, where Hiranyagarbha Upasanam is discussed, and Shankara Bhagavatpada picks up an argument, he develops, he discusses, takes up a topic and discusses here. The Pramanam is discussed differently here. See, what is a Pramanam? How Veda serves as a valid means of knowledge? Entire Shastram is a Pramanam, he has to say. Because there is a group of people called Purva Mimamsakaha, Karma Kandinaha. These Purva Mimamsakaha, Karma Kandinaha are only interested in the Purva Bhaga of the Veda. The first portion of the Veda, the voluminous portion of the Veda, which means all their focus is only in understanding what the Karma Kanda has, what Karma Kanda says. So they're interested in the performance of rituals, they're interested in the know-how of the rituals, they're interested in the karma, performance of actions, they're interested in enjoying the benefits of the performance of rituals, they're interested in Artha Kama Dharma, they're interested only in this. For them, moksha is also karmapalam. They are not at all interested in what is said beyond the upasana kanda. Their focus is only on the karma. For them, karma is Bhagavan. Okay, there is no God for them actually. There is no Ishvara of karma kandinaha or Vaidikaha. These Purvamimamsakaha, the Purvamimamsaka philosophers, or Vaidikaha, they're called Astikaha. Why? Because they believe in the Veda, but they do not believe, accept Ishvara. Therefore, in tradition, non-believers of God are not looked upon as Nastikas. The non-believers of Veda are looked upon as Nastikas. So, Astikaha means those who accept Veda as a Pramana, those who have believe in Veda, they are called Astikaha. The Purvamimamsakas are Astikaha, Vaidikaha, but their interest is only in Karma Kanda, Karma, Karma Phalam. Performance of rituals, enjoy the benefits of rituals. Live your life happily. Artha Kama Dharmas, they are not all interested in Vedanta or Jnanam. Nothing superior than the karma. This is their view. Then they do not even accept Ishvara as karma phala data. They do not think that Bhagavan in the form of, they said there's a natural law which determines the karma phalam. Therefore, the one who obtains in the form of the natural law determines the result of action is given the Bhagavan title of Bhagavan. They don't even see that. For them, karma karanayam, karma kartavyam, karma palam anubhoktavyam. Perform the ritual, know the ritual, understand the ritual, perform the ritual, enjoy the benefit. So why we respect Veda? Because Veda serves as a means of knowledge of the karma. Which ritual should we perform? How should be performed? Which mantra should be uttered? How many avritis you need? Who is they? They intercept. They do not even accept the Devata. They may say, Agni Eswaha, Vayav Eswaha, they may say mantras. They may even utter the names of the Devatas. But for them, utterance of the mantras are only for performing the ritual. They do not have any, regard for the Devatas. They do not accept the Devatas. For them, performance of knowing the rituals, knowing the know-how of rituals, performing the rituals, enjoying the benefit of rituals is the only goal. And they say, this Karma Kanda, alone is the Veda Pramanam, Pramana Granthaha. Other than the portions of the Veda which deal with the karma, all rest of the portions which do not deal with the karma are not even not to be considered as Pramanam at all. They go to this extent, and this is where Shankara Bhagavad Pada has to come. Otherwise, he would have kept quiet. Okay, some children are playing with some toys, let them enjoy. One day they'll come to this. But here what happened, they go to the extent of saying, other portions of the Veda are not to be considered a Pramanam. Apramanam. This is their view. And what is Pramanam for them? Karma Kanda alone is the Pramanam. Okay, this is one point. Second thing. Here, when they say Karma Kanda is the Pramanam, there also Karma Kanda consists of mantras. Mantras are all statements. So they have a view very clearly. The one view which is accepted by Vedantins also. A word by itself cannot serve as a pramanam. A word, padam, by itself cannot serve as a pramanam. What does it mean? A word uttered does not give you a new knowledge. Suppose if I say chair, immediately you connect the, you see the relationship between the word chair and the object chair, and you understand the meaning. Which means, use the relationship between the word and its meaning, and using your pratyaksha pramanam, using your perception, using the means of perception, pramanam, in terms of perception, and using also your knowledge you have gained in transactions, you can say even a transaction also is a pramanam. Vyavahara is also pramanam. It helps you understand. So, which means, you already have the knowledge of the object called chair. When the word is uttered, this you only recollect the knowledge which you already have. So you relate to the meaning, relate of the word. Isn't it? So my utterance of words does not, the words which expressed by me do not give you any new knowledge. Is it clear? Then, but what he says, but the sentences can serve as means of knowledge. Words themselves do not give a new knowledge, but sentences alone can serve as means of knowledge. So now the question comes, what is a sentence? Any sentence is nothing but many words, a few words, put together, arranged properly. See? So properly arranged words, appropriately arranged words, put together, serves as a means of knowledge, pramanam. Even then, the sentence is nothing but the words. But how does a sentence consisting of many words appropriately arranged serve as a means of knowledge? How does it convey a new a meaning? How does it convey something, a new knowledge? It said, when the words are put together in a sentence properly, then it helps us understand the connection between the objects indicated by the words. Okay? Get what I'm saying? A sentence helps us understand the connection between the objects indicated by the words. Which means, now David is drinking water. His sentence. If I say, David is a word, ease is a word, drinking is a word, water is a word. Four different words. And how the sentence helps you understand the connection between the words. David, subject, is, verb, a drinking, gerund, used as a present participle. Then you can say water, an object. So what is object, what is subject, and what is verb? You understand? So connection between the words. So connection between the objects indicated by the words is conveyed by this sentence. There's a new knowledge you get. Okay? A sentence gives you a new knowledge of the connection between the objects indicated by the words. Is it clear? Therefore, and this connection was a syntactical connection. Therefore, sentence alone serves as a means of knowledge. Pramanam. So this Vedanti also accepts. Now, when Vedanti accepts this, then Purimamsakaha wants to show his view. Therefore, is it possible for any sentence to be a sentence without a verb? Is it possible? No. Any sentence. There cannot be a sentence without a verb. Okay. Therefore, any sentence must have a sentence can be a sentence only if there is a verb. But a verb is there. What does the verb do? Verb indicates an action. Therefore, a sentence is important to serve. If a sentence alone can serve as a means of the knowledge. Understand? Because it conveys something what we do not know. See, we can call a pramanam as a pramanam. It must convey something what you do not know already. Only that is a pramanam, isn't it? We simply say water, you already know water. There's no new knowledge for you. Whereas a sentence, because of this connection, syntactical connection, it reveals, it gives you a new knowledge, it conveys something which you do not know by making you see the connection between the objects denoted by the words. Therefore, sentence is pramanam, and a sentence can be a sentence only if the sentence has a verb. And a verb indicates an action. Therefore, action is very important. Karma is very important. Therefore, all the portions, in the Veda, Karma Kanda, the portions which deal with the karma, the entire Veda's focus is mainly on the karma. Performance of rituals or practice of upasanas and enjoying the benefit of karma phalam. That is the ultimate focus. Vedasya kim prayojanam, paramam prayojanam. This is a mokshahanal, okay? What is the main purpose of the Veda? Make the people understand the value of rituals. Make the people understand the rituals, know of rituals. Make the people perform the rituals. Make the people enjoy the benefits of performance of rituals and practice of upasanam. That's all. Therefore, the whole Veda's focus is centered on the karma action. Therefore, the portions, the mantras, the statements which deal with the karma, which have the verbs denoting actions, they alone are the pramanam, serve as the means of knowledge. The rest of the portions which do not deal with the karma are apramanam. They are not valid and they are not even useful. Okay? This is his view. Got it now? Is not... That's why last class I took such a long session to prepare for this. It's not nothing... This is very easy today. Not difficult. Now, and here, Shankara Bhagavatpada has to refute his view. A not only karma kanda is the pramanam, not only the mantras and statements, the portions which deal with the karma as the pramanam, the entire Veda is the pramanam. And the Veda consists of what are the statements which Veda consists of? So we have vidhi vakyani, arthavada vakyani, we have vedantapara mahavakyani, we have nisheda vakyani, we have like explain to what each. So vidhi means order, commandment, is called vidhi. Get up, sit, do. No, do this yajna. No, may you perform this ritual. If you want to enjoy this benefit, may you perform this. Vidhi means order, commandment to do certain things, called vidhi. Where actions are indicated. Do this, not to do this, etc. So, karma kuru. Yajnaha kartavyaha, kriyeta, kartavyam, kuruvantu. All these verbs emphasizing, stressing, indicating the rituals or the actions are called, the statements associated with the rituals are the do verb, isn't it? Is it vidhi vakyani? Statements associated with the actions are called vidhi vakyani. So according to Karmakandi Purimamsa, only vidhi vakyani are the pramana vakyani. They alone serve as means of knowledge. For him, according to him, the other vakyani, arthavada vakyani, they are all not valid, they are not at all important, they are useless. And here, Shankar Bhagavatpada first makes this person understand how arthavada vakyani are also, they also serve as means of knowledge. See, arthavada vakyani means what? There are lots of statements in the Veda, here and all over. And those statements, they simply talk about the devatas. They glorify the devatas, present the glories of the devatas. Suppose there is a ritual to be performed, invoking the grace of a specific, but now we want rains. To get rains, there are Varna Japa. There is Varna Japa Mantraha. And there is a specific ritual to be performed. So Varna Yagaha. And Devata is a Varna to be invoked. Some given space, the natural force, the phenomenon has to be invoked as Devata. For specific result. A specific mantras, specific rituals to invoke the grace of specific devata for a specific purpose. We have to perform. And here, when the Upanishad, the Veda presents the in Karma Kanda, when this ritual is prescribed, Karma Kanda will say, it is enough if we simply perform this ritual. Take only those statements which talk about how to perform the ritual alone as it is pramanam. The same ritual, relating to that ritual, there are some other statements wherein the Varuna Devata is introduced. For this given purpose, perform this ritual, invoke the grace of this Devata, then Varuna Devata is introduced. Varuna is the preceding deity of the rains. And when the Varuna Devata is introduced, then also the about Varuna Bhagavan, the glories of Varuna are also discussed. How if it rains, how we can live, there will be prosperity, how there will be abundance of food, how Varuna contribute for the well-being of the people and the living beings, etc. There will be lots of glories of Varuna also will be discussed. Why? Only then we will also pay attention to the facts revealed by the Veda. Shraddha in the ritual we perform, we have respect for the Devata we are invoking. We don't look at it as a mere bundle of energy. We look at it as a Devata. Then we have respect. Then we perform the ritual with the Shraddha. So it's good, isn't it? So Veda also presents, talks about the Devata, talks about the glories of Devata, how the glorious Devata is and how the ritual will be effective, how it has been performed, everything the Veda talks about. And so the deep portions of the mantras, the Vedic portions, consisting of mantras which deal with such Devata, or talk about Devatas or the glories of the Devatas, they're all called Arthavada Vakyani. Those statements are called Arthavada Vakyani. Is it clear? Nakant Purmamsaka, Arthavada Vakyani are useless. We don't need them. They are apramanam. But first Shankara makes it very clear, Arthavada Vakyani by themselves may not be useful. If you talk, somebody comes and talks to you about the glory of Varuna, how glorious Varuna is, so what? So no use for you. Knowing about the glory of somebody is not going to be of any use for you. Varuna is that glorious, how great he is, it's of no use for you. Isn't it? So even if you talk about the Varuna Devata, it doesn't make any sense for you. When you are desperate in need of water, and if you know the ritual, the importance of performing that ritual, then you connect that Varuna Devata and his glories to this ritual, then what happens? Then it is useful for you, isn't it? So the Devata information, Arthavada Vakyani, the statements, sentences associated with the Devatas are their glories, by themselves are of no use. Definitely they are of no use. But they are very useful when they are associated, connected with the ritual, isn't it? Ritual associated with the Devata. Is it clear? Therefore they are useful. What Shankara says, they may not be useful by themselves, but they definitely are useful when they are connected to the ritual. Which means, what he wants to say, the usefulness of the mantra is not dependent, not the validity of the mantra, Arthavada Vakyani, not dependent on the usefulness. Something can serve as a means of knowledge, still it may not be useful, isn't it? It need not be useful. Just because it is not useful, we can't say it is not valid. Isn't it? So validity as a pramanam is not dependent on the usefulness. whether they are useful or not, still they are valid means of knowledge. But still they are useful also, they are connected to the corresponding, the ritual, the karma. Therefore, he says, now, therefore, he by saying this, he refutes his that view that no, this Arthavada Vakyani also serve as pramanam, as means of knowledge. Okay, is one thing. Because even though we don't need to know all these things for us, it's something important to know what is generally there, as to, we don't need to know so much. At least we can know there are Vidhi Vakyani, Arthavada Vakyani. What are Vidhi Vakyani? The statements and sentences which discuss the rituals, performance of rituals. And the Arthavada Vakyani are the Vakyani which discuss about the devatas whose grace have to be invoked and how glorious they are. Arthavada Vakyani. How they are useful? Only when you connect them, the glories and the devata with the corresponding ritual, then you understand the usefulness of it. Is it clear? Therefore, don't, he tells, shuts his mouth, no? Hey, karma kandin, now you just don't blindly say they are not useful at all. They are very useful when they are connected to the portions which deal associated with the karma, corresponding rituals. First. Then, after that, he moves on to the next one. Now he is very particular about what? At least he understands. If the statements do not insist the karma, associated with the karma, then those statements are all not pramanam. Now having established very briefly, clearly, how Arthavada Vakyani are also serve as means of knowledge. They're useful when they're connected to the sentences of ritual, associated with the rituals. Now, the next thing he establishes is Mahavakya Pramanyam, Mahavakyani. Now, Vedantic statements. Now, he moves on from the Karmakanda's Arthavada to Vedantic portion. Because this Karmakandi, Purimamsaka, does not accept Vedanta as a Pramanam. Because in Vedanta, no karma is emphasized. In fact, you do not do anything because there the purpose is different. See, in Karmakanda, knowledge of Karmakanda is not enough. Knowledge has to be powered by a performance, karma, action. Knowledge has to be implemented in the form of action to get the benefit of knowledge. Whereas in Vedanta, jnanam itself is what? Moksha. You don't need to do any action after knowing the truth. Isn't it? Sometimes knowledge itself gives you palam. Sometimes knowledge has to be implemented from action to get the palam. Isn't it? So Vedanta jnanam is different. Vedanta jnanam, Vedanta serves as a pramanam for the knowledge of the truth, which itself is moksha, the absolute end. You don't need to do anything after knowing the truth for moksha, for a given end, isn't it? So here, therefore, according to Purvamimamsaka, Vedanta is not even a pramanam. Why? It has nothing to do with the karma. And second thing, there are statements, according to, he accepts a sentence, is a sentence alone serves as a means of knowledge. The sentence cannot be without a verb, and verb denotes an action. Therefore, sentence with the verb denoting action alone is a pramanam. Isn't it? Now, tattvamasi, aham brahmasmi, I am atma brahma. Isn't it? Yo veda nihitangu. So, whenever there's so many mahavakyams are there, all the time showing how essentially the individual and the total are one. How Jiva and Ishvara are essentially one. How the Jagat and the Vyashti and the Samashti are essentially one. In so many, isn't it? So many things everywhere it is discussed. And where you resolve all, you resolve the Isha, you resolve the Jiva, you resolve the Jagat, everything resolve. Ultimately, you see how the truth is one, secondless and non-dual. The statements will help, analysis of which helps us arrive at that fact. But poor Mimamsaka doesn't want to know anything about it. What he says, there is no karma. Tattamasi, what does it say? That you are that. Raham Brahmasmi. It's a nice statement. Of course, there is a verb asi also. But you know, no action is impelled. No karma is emphasized. Isn't it? Therefore, they're all what? They're all useless statements. They do not serve any purpose. They're apramana vakyani. They are not pramanam at all. No karma is. So you cannot do anything. Enjoy the when you have to do something to have the result of that karma. The result is that you can enjoy that result, isn't it? You have to live your life. You need to enjoy the result. For enjoyment of pleasures, for enjoyment of everything, you need phalam. And for phalam, you need what? Karma. Karma. And there's no karma is emphasized. Therefore, even those days, they were there. That is why people are always interested in yoga classes. Yoga is very, I'm not belittling yoga, please understand, don't mistake me. Yoga is very, very important. It's very good for physical health, also preparing the mind. It's very good. Why people, anywhere, meditation class, do something means people will be there. Do something, it is easy to get the crowd. No. People are not that inclined. Understand? That is where people can sing and dance and do things. Those places are more attractive than places where teaching is done. What I'm saying? I'm not finding fault. It's the human mind's lot inclined like that, towards that. And here Vedanta has to make you see something, isn't it? One thing, for only one end, you need not achieve anything. You need not do anything. For what your ultimate goal is moksha, this happiness. And for one thing, you need not do anything. For other things, you need to do something. Isn't it? So here karma is not emphasized. You know, karma is not all required there. Therefore, they are all not even apramanam. And here Shankara says, see, for a statement to serve as a pramanam, it should fulfill two important things. One is, if a statement reveals what is already known to you, okay, it cannot be considered a pramanam. If a statement, a sentence, conveys something which is already known to you, then that sentence cannot be considered, cannot be given the status of being the pramanam. Why? Doesn't give you a new knowledge. It's called, then, when a statement repeats, conveys only what you already know, it's only repetition of what you already know. Isn't it? Reinforcement of what you already know. If such a statement is called anuvadaha. Anuvadaha means revealing something which is already known. A statement which reveals which is already known is called anuvadaha. Okay, anuvadaha. And what is known through any other means of knowledge also. Suppose what is revealed by a Vedic statement, if it is already known by you through any other means of knowledge, then also that statement cannot be considered a pramanam. Why? Some other pramanam already reveals to you. we call it Pramanantara Samvadaha. Pramanantara Samvadaha means the situation wherein what is revealed by the Vedic statement is already revealed to you by other means of knowledge. Which means if it conveys what you already know, it is anuvadaha. Then it can't be a pramanam. And second thing, suppose what is revealed by the Veda, if it contradicts what is revealed by the Vedic statement, contradicts your knowledge which you have already known through other pramanam, is called pramanantara visamvadaha. So pramanantara samvadaha is anuvadaha. Pramanantara visamvadaha is gunavadaha. Anuvadaha gunavadaha means what? If a Vedic statement reveals something which you already know, the statement does not give you a new knowledge, then that statement happens to be an anuvadaha. It cannot be considered a pramanam, a statement which serves as a means of knowledge. Suppose a statement reveals something which contradicts your reasoning, which contradicts your knowledge which you have already gained through other pramanam. It is called pramanantara visamvadaha, it's called a gunavadaha. Then also it can't be considered a pramanam. Okay. There are two important conditions which a statement should fulfill. And here, the entire Veda, I tell you, within the Karma Kanda or in the Upasana Kanda or in the Jnana Kanda, no statement, all the statements serve these two conditions. Especially the Vedanta Shastra. So, we also have Buddhartha Vakyani. Buddhartha Vakyani means this Arthavada Vakyani, which become useful when they are associated with the statements of rich actions. We call them Buddhartha Vakyani. But here, the Vedanta Vakyani, Mahavakyani, the statements which reveal the facts, which reveal the they're all statements of facts. They are statements of facts. Aham Brahma Asmi, Atattvam Asi are all what? Statements of facts. And those statements reveal the essential oneness. But they don't emphasize any action. Tattvam Asi, the is verb is there. Aham Brahma Asmi, Asmi, there's a verb is there. Asmi, Asi, the verb is there. And there are many verbs, so he has to make it very clear. These statements, there are statements such as, they do have verbs, there are proper sentences, they do have verbs, and those verbs, there are also verbs which do not indicate actions. Even though mostly verbs denote the actions, there are also verbs which do not indicate actions. Like sun illumines is a verb. The sun indicate an action. Nose, reality knows. The nose is a verb. Doesn't indicate an action. It indicates a sarupam. Exists. We saw in the last class. world exists, the book exists. Exists is a verb that doesn't indicate an action. I'll give you important verbs. There's so many other verbs which do not indicate an action, but still they're verbs. And there are, we can say this asmi asti, asti gadita, asti gadita karma rahita vakyani. Asti gadita karma rahita vakyani means statements wherein we have these do verbs, isn't it? And not this, this is the verbs, but they do not denote any actions. Aham Brahma Asmi, Asmi, Am, Is, they do not denote any actions. But still, and those statements are also Pramanani. They are also, what now, statements which serve as means of knowledge. Are you all following me what I'm saying? So statements which have verbs, but those verbs do not denote any actions, and they also serve as valid means of knowledge. They enjoy the status of being the pramanam, being the means of knowledge. Why? Because they serve this, they fulfill these two conditions. Definitely, what is revealed by the Vedanta Shastram? So, whatever is known by you through any other pramanam is only anatma. Whatever is known by us through any other pramanam is what? Anatma. Within the realm of the ignorance and the world, isn't it? How much ever we know, we have so many other, whether pratyaksha pramanam, is perception, inference, upama, comparison, presumption, isn't it? Arthapatti, shabda, use all the sixfold pramanams available for us. Even vyavahara also can include, transaction also. So any knowledge, what is possibly gained by us through any other pramanam is definitely only within the realm of ignorance and the external world of objects, the material world of objects. What is not, what cannot be known through any other pramanam alone is what? Known by through the Vedanta. What is known by the Vedanta, what cannot be known by any other pramanam is what? Atma. So Atma is something which is not known through any other pramanam, known only through the Vedanta pramanam. Is it clear now? Therefore, whether Vedanta fulfills that condition, there is no anuvadaha. What is in the Vedanta is no, there is no anuvadaha. Pramanantara samvada is not there. And what is known through the pramanam, Vedanta, does not contradict with your knowledge you have gained through any other pramanam. If you say universe is, Vedanta does not say that. Doesn't contradict your perception. Vedanta nowhere it contradicts your perception. Nowhere it contradicts your reasoning. Nowhere Vedanta contradicts your, the knowledge you have gained through other pramanam. Isn't it true? Do you see that? Very important lesson I'm saying. Therefore, there is no gunavadaha. See, gunavadaha, I'm just saying because Shankara uses the term expression, okay? Gunavadaha or anuvadaha are technical term, expressions used to say. So, visam, there's no pramanantara visamvadaha is not there. Pramanantara samvadaha is also not there. Which means, what is revealed, what is known through the Veda, what is known through the Vedantic statements is something which cannot be known through any other pramanam. And what has not been known also There's no Atmajnanam already. If we already have Atmajnanam, then we don't need Pravedanta. Isn't it? We don't have the Atmajnanam. It is not attainable through any pramanam also. Then whatever this knowledge of the Atma, in no way contradicts your knowledge of anything else in the world. Does it contradict? It is not opposed. Knowledge is not opposed to anything. And opposed only to ignorance, not to knowledge. If I have knowledge of chemistry, does it affect my knowledge of physics? No. So knowledge of one thing in no way opposed to knowledge of other thing. Therefore, what now? There is no gunavadaha anuvada problem. Pramanantara samvada visamvada is not there. Vedanta fulfills these two conditions. Therefore, Vedantic statements do have verbs, but those verbs do not denote any actions, and they do fulfill these two conditions. Therefore, hey Karma Kandin, please understand, Vedantic statements also serve as the means of knowledge. See, clear? Now two, he has established what now? First he said, Arthavada Vakyani serve as Pramanam. Second, now Vedanta Vakyani serve as Pramanam. He established. Then not only, see, Vedanti does not say Karmakanda Vakyani are useless. Okay. They serve as means of knowledge, it's okay. But ultimate aim is not karma. Veda's aim is to focus not only on karma. Ultimately, Veda's focus is on jnanam and moksha. Now, the third one. So, Vedanti addresses this. Shankara as a Vedanti addresses the karma kandi. In these two, in establishing the Arthavada as a pramanam, and in establishing the Mahavakya, the Vedanta Vakyani as pramanam, he defended, isn't it, how Veda is a pramanam. Now, he is going to point out the loophole in his thing. See, in Karma Kanda, we also have statements of prohibition, statements of negations. They are called Nishedha Vakyani. Nishedha Vakyani, what are Nishedha Vakyani? No, certain injunctions are there, certain rules are there in the Karma Kanda. Satyam Vada, said do, isn't it? Speak the truth. Asatyam Mavada, Kalunjam na bhunjita, may you not eat meat. Suram na pibet, may you not drink alcohol. This is a other, okay? Suppose I can add some more. Don't tell lies, don't cheat, don't betray, don't hurt. Himsam na kuriyat, may you not hurt. It's all Nisheda. May you not hurt. May you not tell lies. May you not cheat. They're all what? Statements of negation, isn't it? Statements of prohibitive injunctions. Statements which prohibit, which stop you from doing wrong things. So here, they're all Nisheda Vakyani. So, what are these Nishedha Vakyani? Why should Veda tell us these Nishedha Vakyani? Is it? So, here, Nishedha Vakyani also what? May you not do means what? This is a statement. There is no karma. Not doing is not doing. Isn't it? May you not speak, may you not tell lies. Means what? Not telling lies is not an action. Is it clear? It is also in karma kanda. Therefore, he karma kandin, the statements which do not have, which do not emphasize the actions, you take them as pramanam or not? You take them as pramanam. What about those statements? Therefore, even if the statements do not emphasize karma, still those statements also should be taken as pramanam. Okay? He uses that. So when do we use them? When are they used? Nisheda Vakyani. When people are given to the pursuit of things, certain things, unknowingly mistaking the unfavorable, the non-favorable, undesirable for the favorable, desirable things. When people are given to the pursuit of the unfavorable or the undesirable things, mistaking them for desirable, favorable things. See, people cannot see how important it is to know all these things. Not simply understanding Vedas are pramanam, isn't it? See, suppose what you are aspiring for, and what you want to pursue, what you want to achieve, is something really desirable, okay? Something favorable for you. Then, don't do it. We say that. That statement of negation, prohibition, will be what? It's not necessary. If I'm 100% sure what you're aspiring for, what you want to achieve, what you want to pursue, is something desirable and favorable, good, then should I come and tell you, don't do it? That's not necessary, isn't it? Suppose if you, what you want to do is not desirable for you, not acceptable for you. What you want to pursue is not favorable or useful for you. Then should I tell you, don't do it? You know already, you will not do it. Is it clear now? If you already know the uselessness of the what you want, suppose what is being pursued, if you already know it is of no use, it is not favorable, it is not useful, it is not beneficial, then naturally, I don't need to tell you don't do it, you will not do it yourself. Suppose if you know what you're going to do is, you how useful it is, what you pursue is useful and beneficial and favorable, definitely then you are doing it, then also I don't need to tell you don't do it. When do I need to tell you don't do it? Only when you do, when you, what you are aspiring for, what you want to achieve, what you want to perceive, is something unfavorable, undesirable, but you mistake that unfavorable, undesirable, non-beneficial thing you are pursued for the beneficial and useful and favorable, mistake it, then you pursue it, then I have to come and tell, then only the statement of prohibition is important, isn't it? Serves a purpose. Please don't do it. When you say, please don't do it, not that you should listen to me or not that you don't listen to me, you think for a while why the person is interfering and saying. with a good interest or a wrong interest. Is it true or not? It will make you think, make you see the consequences. And if it, okay, then you can, then you are 100% clear what you are doing is right, you can ignore the person's, no, then you can go ahead. Or, oh, thank God the person's told me, yes, these are the consequences, you can stop doing it. Isn't it? That's where it is, the statements of prohibition, the prohibitive, you know, the teaching is for what? For preventing the person from pursuing something what is unfavorable, what is undesirable, what is not good for the ultimate, not is acceptable for the ultimate good. Is it clear? For dharmam chara, there is no prohibition. But what is implied there? May you not do anything adharma. Satyam vada. Is it? So may not tell a lie. So nisheda vakyani. So here, Shankara Bhagavatpada, they also come as part of the karma kanda only. Dharma, isn't it? There, where these nisheda vakyani come, there no action is emphasized. They're all pramanam. But karma kandi accepts these statements where dharma is emphasized as pramana vakyani. But though there verbs are used, but they do not denote any action. Isn't it? May you not steal means non-stealing is what? Not doing the act of stealing. So not doing is not an action, isn't it? They do not denote any actions. But still those state nishedha vakyani are taken as what? Pramana vakyani. They are taken as the valid means of knowledge. So there you accept. Therefore, everywhere we cannot say there are statements with verbs which do not denote actions. Still, they serve as means of knowledge. Pramana vakyani. And not only that, Vedanta vakyani, like the other statements, they reveal something what is not revealed by any other means of knowledge. What cannot be known by any other means of knowledge? Atma. And they do not reveal what is already known through any other means of knowledge also. Okay? There is no repetition of what you already know. There is no contradictory. So the knowledge revealed by the Veda, what is conveyed, the knowledge attained through the means of Vedic statements, in no way contradicts the knowledge attained through any other means of knowledge. Therefore, all the statements of the Veda are appropriate, valid means of knowledge. We have no problem. Karmakanda vakyani definitely deserve as means of knowledge. But though that knowledge should be implemented in the form of performance of rituals to enjoy the benefit, and that benefit is only what? Arthakama dharma, time-bound results. And these rituals have to be performed, karma has to be performed for what? For preparing one's mind for jnana. So also upasanam is for mental antakara naischalyam. This is pramanam, no doubt. Ultimately, Vedantic statements are also the pramanam, which also have verbs, which do not denote any actions. The knowledge itself is an ultimate end, That's why they do not denote any actions. But still, they serve as the valid means of knowledge. Asti gadita kriya rahita vakyani. And definitely, they fulfill the condition, two important conditions. They do not reveal what is revealed, what can be known through any other means of knowledge. And then what is known through the Vedantic statements does not contradict the what is known by other through other pramanams. Is it clear? Okay. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Please go for a tea. Om. See, to understand some important words you need to know, remember, even if they don't know Sanskritam. To understand the Vedaha, the Veda, as a Pramanam. The few things we need to remember. See, Vedaha itself means knowledge, body of knowledge, a means of knowledge. The source of which is non-traceable. See, the source of Veda, the body of knowledge, the source of which is non-traceable. And the non-traceability of the source of the Veda is explained in the form of saying that Veda is straight away from Bhagavan. Because Veda was never written, not even in the form of manuscripts. The printing is which we have nowadays. Before the printing, the printing press came into existence, there were manuscripts. The written form, so the Veda was never in the form of written, never in written form. So if it was not in the form of written, but was not available written form, means in what form did it exist? It exists only in the form of words, unwritten words. So unwritten words, Veda was in the form of unwritten words, means it was only in the form of words, they were only expressed in the form of words, only sounds. So Vedic wisdom, the entire Vedic wisdom always got expressed in the form of words through sounds. Which means, where were they then? How was the Veda then? It was always in the form of thoughts. Vedic wisdom has been there always in the form of thoughts only. So thoughts means what? Manifest knowledge. A thought is manifestation of knowledge. So manifestation of knowledge, the knowledge obtaining only in the form of thoughts. Therefore, if at all expressed, it was also expressed only through the sounds in the form of words. So heard, sounds heard, heard and written. So knowledge, Vedic wisdom was always imparted only through speech, communication. That's why even the lineage of teachings is called Karna Parampara. And what is the source of that knowledge? So we now understand, now we know very well. Now because last class I explained, previous class I explained, how knowledge obtaining in the form of thought is manifest knowledge. The source of manifestation is the very reality which is of the nature of knowledge which is pure knowledge, pure consciousness, and which is the eternal reality. Therefore, where does this Veda obtain? In fact, no knowledge is outside of the reality. So Veda, definitely, any knowledge is Ishvara for us, Bhagavan. Apara or para, any vidya is what? Shastra, Bhagavan only. So this Veda source of knowledge is always there, already there, always there, eternally. That's why we say this Veda, every time the Srishti is there, Veda also becomes manifest or becomes unmanifest. We say. It's a timeless scripture, we say. And this non-traceability of the Veda is, that is why, is said to be, said to have the Bhagavan as the source of the knowledge. That is why always river is taken for Rishi Moolam and Adi Moolam. What gives the status of being the Rishi? Who is the Rishi? Who is the seer of these mantras? Okay, mantra rise some of a thought, okay? Who is the seer of this knowledge? Who is the Rishi? Now you know very well. Is there a seer knower other than Brahma, other than Atma? Therefore, Rishi and who, the seer, is a status attributed to the reality, the standpoint of a given, you know, the manifestation which got revealed. Isn't it? So, who is the Rishi? Rishi Moolam. What is the source of the Rishi? Rishi is only a qualification attributed to the reality, like how the knowership is attributed to reality. Rishi Moolam, you never search for. Why? You are the very source of the Rishi Moolam. Isn't it true? That is why the eternal flow of Vedic wisdom is always likened, you know, is compared. We say what now? This Ganga Pravahaha. So Ganga river symbolizes the flow of Vedic wisdom. And there's, in fact, no source of a river can be traced. The source of the origin of the river also, where exactly the given river with the given name, which comes in a given form, where exactly it starts. We can hear some small streams get together and join somewhere, get the name. If you go and trace what is the source, you can never trace. The source of the river cannot be traced. So non-traceability of the Shastra is likened to what a non-traceability of the source of the river also. But it keeps flowing, isn't it? What implies is, Bhagavan is the one, the truth is the one which is not available for objectification. There's a Ganga. It takes a Ganga. Anyway, so this Veda Shastram is a Pramana Grantaha. Pramanam is a valid means of knowledge of the truth ultimately. But until, not just the truth alone, it also gives us business with the knowledge which cannot be attained through any other Pramanam. Example, the know-how of rituals, the devatas, the benefits of rituals. Of course, we don't perform, we don't know it, but they are really means of knowledge. Just because I don't know how to bake bread, does not mean that the knowledge of how to make bread is not there or useless. I may not bake bread, but still it is a management of knowledge. Here, this karma kanda has knowledge. And Upasana Kanda has knowledge, is the Pramana. In every Kanda, there are statements and which serve as Pramanam, means of knowledge. of facts which cannot be attained through any other pramanam. And knowledge attained through these Vedic statements, Vedantic statements, in no way contradicts the knowledge attained through any other pramanam. Important things. So karma kanda, rupasana kanda, or jnana kanda. There are all the vakyani here, the statements here, can be divided very clearly into these statements as vidhi vakyani. Where the word, very word vidhihi means order, commandment. Vidhi vakyani. So, vakyam in Sanskrit, Tamil also we have this word vakyam. So, vakyam literally means a statement, a sentence. Vidhi vakyani, the statements of commandments. These statements of commandments are statements where definitely verbs are and which denote actions. The Vedic, statements of commandments are sentences having verbs denoting actions. Or performance of rituals. Or practice of meditation. We have. Mainly performance of rituals. Then we have Arthavada Vakyani. Arthavada Vakyani are the statements which just talk about the devatas. Devatas means the natural forces or natural phenomena with the indicated by different words, obtaining different forms. Invocation of which definitely will bless us with certain things, the prosperity which we need to live this life. So these Arthavada Vakyani are the Vakyani statements wherein we can know about these devatas. There are many. And also how each phenomenon, a natural force, is of supportive and contributive for our well-being. Therefore, how they are glorious really. Suppose if we say, imagine, just take for example sun, Suryaha Pratyaksha Devata. Sun is a natural force, a source of amazing amount of energy. The great source of energy, the brilliance and light, just by presence, just sun being what it is. How glorious the sun is. How much we enjoy the existence, presence of sun. So naturally, anything, the facts, whatever we say about the sun, there's no flattery at all. It's all genuine words of praise and glories. They're really glorious. Why? Because how their presence, with their attributes, with their nature, how they contribute for the other beings in the world. Sun or moon or fire or earth, all the elements and the elementals and also other, the phenomena here. So each phenomenon is a natural force. So what name can it give that phenomenon? Natural force. Every phenomenon, every force in its own way, in a unique way of contributing for the well-being. Isn't it? And therefore, they're all devatas. So there's nothing lie, there's no falsehood there. They're all statements of facts. It is not something stories or useless, no. So whatever the glories are discussed about as the glories of devatas, they are not non-factual. Genuinely understood and revealed about it. So that Arthavada Vakyani. But when we talk about, when you read those Vakyani, the statements talking about the devatas or their glories, what do we benefit from them, from that? If we say, by simply by reading, knowing the devatas, talking about the devatas, we may not have any specific benefits. We may think they are of no use. Even then, I cannot say it is not useful because it makes you think. It makes you think that how you are, our life is at the mercy of the devata. Isn't it true? Isn't it? How we are living our life, we are dependent on the devatas for our lives. So it is not useless. But even if we think, just simply reading this Vidhi Arthavada Vakyani, don't benefit, we think. But definitely, those Arthavada Vakyani also actually are connected to, associated with the statements of commandments, the rituals, the karma, Vidhi Vakyani. Then they also serve as means of knowledge. Okay? In fact, understanding the devatas, proper understanding of the devatas, appreciation of their contribution, the glories will definitely contribute for expansion of mind. While understanding. Isn't it? The narrowness will resolve. Okay. This is Arthavada Vakyani. Then we have, so Vidhi Vakyani, Arthavada Vakyani, then we have Buddhartha Vakyani. Buddhartha Vakyani means same statements of Artham Arthavada Vakyani only, which also become useful when they are, see, Arthavada Vakyani, when they are associated, connected with the statements of commandments, the Vidhi Vakyani, we can understand their usefulness. Even if we fail to appreciate the usefulness, utility of the Arthavada Vakyani, when they are associated with the Vidhi Vakyani, then we can appreciate their utility, usefulness. And such statements are called Buddhartha Vakyani. Okay. So Vidhi Vakyani, Arthavada Vakyani, Buddhartha Vakyani, we have Vedanta Vakyani. Vedanta Vakyani or Mahavakyani. Generally, Vedanta Vakyani means all the statements of Vedanta Vakyani, they are not statements of actions, statements of commandments. They are all statements of abstract facts, statements of fact. And those statements of those Vedantic statements also have verbs, but which do not denote actions. Asti gadita karma rahita vakyani. Do not denote any actions. And all these statements, Vedic Vedantic statements, they reveal the facts, statements of facts, and they serve as unique, valid means of knowledge because they do not convey or reveal anything which is known through, knowable through any other means of knowledge. Nor do they reveal or convey something which contradicts the knowledge attained through any other means of knowledge. This is something important to remember. Which means, and we use these Sanskrit words, pramanantara samvadaha. Pramanantara samvadaha or pramanantara visamvadaha. So, pramanantara samvadaha is equal to anuvadaha. Pramanantara visamvadaha is equal to gunavadaha. What does the word anuvadaha, gunavadaha mean? I already told you. If a pramanam, if a statement reveals, conveys something which you already know, then that statement is called what? Gunavadaha. A statement of repetition. Sorry, anuvadaha. Anuvadaha, repetition. If the statement reveals something which contradicts the knowledge which you already have through another means of knowledge, we call it pramanantara visamvadaha, that is gunavadaha. Just the names, Sanskrit names you just heard, I want to repeat it. So, pramana antara, a different pramanam. So, suppose a statement reveals something which you already know, then it is that sentence cannot be taken as a pramanam. This apramanam. Suppose Veda says, sun is brilliant. Sun is brilliant. Our sun is pratyaksha devata. Sun, so suppose Veda says, we already know that, isn't it? It's a statement which you already know. Then you can't take it as a pramana vakyam. But suppose it comes in the portion of the where the sun is surya, sun is upasa devata, and honey has been invoked in the, through the ritual, and there as the glory of the sun, it is present said, surya pratyaksha devata, which you already know, but as a glory it is said, then what it is? It is still arthavada vakyam. Is it clear? But you have to count it with a given ritual to see the utility. Is it clear? These are the few important things I want to say. That's all. After the class.